We have a fine crowd this morning. Glad you've come. Visitors that are among us, we're delighted to have you in our audience, and we want you to come back every opportunity that you have to worship with us here at the Knollwood congregation. And to sign the cards, the visitor's card in the back of the pew in front of you, and there's not one there, then sign the guest register out in the vestibule. We want to have a record of your attendance. Now, Brother Earl Stevens is going to preach to us this morning, and he's consented to preach. I asked him last Wednesday night about preaching today, and he graciously consented, and appreciate him doing that. He's a gospel preacher, has preached through the years, and done a great job in preaching the old story of Jesus Christ. He believes the truth, believes the gospel is the power of God to save, and that's the need of the world today in this 20th century, is the old Jerusalem gospel. And we're just happy to have him to speak to us this morning. And I'm looking forward to listening to him as he preaches unto us the old story of the cross. And now it's my good pleasure to introduce to you Brother Earl Stevens.
Thank you, Brother Weldon. We appreciate the invitation that has been extended to us by Weldon and the elders. Bring a message from the Word of God. I want to remind each of us that the purpose we are here is Jesus Christ. I appreciate Brother Weldon and his stand for the truth, and I believe that each of you do. And in this day of modernism, in this day in which preachers more and more are seeking to be pleasers of men rather than pleasers of God, you and I need to appreciate and let those men know that we appreciate when they will stand up for the truth and preach the truth without fear and favor. Life is a serious business. We come here today to remember one of the greatest acts of love that the world has ever known, and also remember one of the most dastardly deeds a human family has ever produced in killing an innocent Son of God that loved us so much to come to die in our place. In a little while, we're going to be singing that invitation hymn. After we have admonished each other in that last song that one of these days soon, we'll be singing that from the grave, Jesus lifted me. But I want to remind us today one of the awful and fearful things, truths that we need to consider. What we lost in Abraham, without anything on our part, unconditionally, was death. You and I have no control over that. We're going to die. Unless we happen to be here when Jesus comes back and be translated. But death has passed upon all of us. We lost that unconditionally in Adam. But I want to remind us that we will gain unconditionally in Christ resurrection. So it doesn't make any difference whether you're a Christian or whether you're the most calloused, hard sinner there is. You're going to raise from the dead. Remember that. And you will live from there on forever and ever and ever. Somewhere, depending on your choice you make here. That's a fearful and awesome thought. We may have some here this morning that are not believers. But I've said many times, as been by the side of one who passes from this life into eternity, I'm confident and sure that 1 minute after death, it wouldn't take that long, you're going to be a believer. Everyone will be a believer. But it'll be too late if you die without being a Christian, a child of God. What I'm going to say this morning may not be the most pleasant thing for you to consider. But hopefully, in these negative things, it may become the most positive thing that has ever been considered by you. No, I'm not afraid to preach about negative things. In Hosea, 4th chapter, verse 6. And the former things were written for our learning. God has revealed by His Spirit, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now He's talking about His own people. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. And thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. What I'm going to be asking this morning, are you prepared? Are you ready to reject God? Are you really ready, prepared to reject God? That sounds peculiar, isn't it? Ready, prepared to reject God? But I think you'll understand when we finish this lesson. 1 Samuel, 8th chapter, verses 6 and 7. Samuel was a priest of God. In that time, that was God's order. People began murmuring. And they said to Samuel, he was going to appoint some judges over them, which was God's order. And the people had said, make us a king to judge us like other nations. We like to be like people around us. There's a lot of people like that today, too. They want to be like people around them. That's dangerous. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. He got upset about it. And Samuel prayed to the Lord. Now watch this. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people and all they say unto thee. That sounds peculiar, doesn't it? For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Now, do you get the point? When we're not satisfied to follow what God says and God's order and God's commandment, we're rejecting God. There's no other way around it. Doesn't make any difference whether you believe it or not. It's still a fact. You reject God. So I'm going to ask you that question. Are you prepared to reject God? As I said in the beginning, I'm old enough, and if I tell you some of the things when I was a young boy, you know how old I was. Been a fur piece. And I haven't learned all there is to learn, and I don't know all there is to know, but I've seen a lot of changes taking place. In this America that One time, many people loved the Lord. And today we're getting modernistic, a form of religion. And the thing that is shocking to me, many preachers today, many of those who call themselves preachers in the Church of Jesus Christ are afraid to preach anything negative. Preaching, as I've said, sermonettes for Christianettes who go to church in churchettes that haven't much consideration for eternity. Please the people. Sunday after Sunday, people that will go out into eternity, maybe tomorrow, aren't hearing anything from the Word of God except positive things they say. Or just preach the love of God. You hear that a lot today? Just preach the love of God. I believe in the love of God. Jesus' death on the cross was a great example of the love of God. But let me tell you something. Preachers today that are afraid to warn, preachers that are afraid to give the negatives, and the Bible is filled with them, the New Testament is filled with them, are enemies of the cross of Jesus. Amen. Now, why do I say that, and how can that be? The cross of Jesus was God's method of showing man how he hates sin. And when preachers will stand and make out as though it really doesn't make any difference how you live, it doesn't make any difference how you do, you're fine, it's good, don't worry about it, the God, love of God will carry you through, are lying. And that kind of love, quote, preaching is sending people right into hell. I'm not mad. I'm worried. It makes me sick to think about human souls like you and me that may be sincere and ignorant. Like Hosea said, destroyed for lack of knowledge, left without knowing what God said, and are on the brink of eternity and don't know they're lost because they're rejecting God with positive love preaching, as they call it. You know what I mean by love preaching? I think one of the examples of the extreme of it, I heard, well, I won't say where it was, but a fellow and everyone thought of him as one of the old codgers, if you know what that means. He was a really old reprobate. And they had the preacher to preach the sermon, and I was there hearing it. And the preacher preached him right into heaven, if you know what I mean. And the way he did it was just how good God was. God was just good, and that man was good because he went down to visit him just before he died, and he said, well, how are things going down church? So he said, I know he had a good attitude, and God will save him. Now, if there was anything that's contrary to the Word of God, that is. In a situation similar to that, wife of one fellow that was in the casket. Of course, he knew what a reprobate he was and looked over at John and said, he run up there and look in there. Maybe Paul isn't in there at all. I don't know who he's talking about. Paul said, if I please men, I will not be the servant of Christ. You read Galatians, the first chapter, verses 6 through 10, and it ought to be revealing to us. Acts 20, verse 31, After Paul had mentioned how grievous wolves would enter in, not sparing the flock, and tear the Lord's church asunder, and he reminded them, "For the space of 3 years, I cease not." What did he say? Preach love. "I cease not to warn everyone night and day in tears." That's too much preaching like that, Paul. You don't know what you're talking about. Is he wrong? Paul must have understood how serious this question really is of life. Don't you think? In Ezekiel 3:18, it's a grave responsibility. God said back then, "You see someone in sin," I'll paraphrase it, in verse 33 and verse 8 and verses following. "You're a watchman on the wall and you see the enemy coming, or you see someone in danger and you blow the horn and warn them. They may be destroyed, but you'll save yourself. But if they listen to you, they'll be saved." And what's he trying to say? Warn them. "And if the man who stands before them doesn't warn them as he ought to, he'll be required. His soul will be required of him for not doing the job God says you must do." John 3, verse 36, "He that believeth the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Romans 2 and verse 5, Paul said, "After thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and the righteous judgment of God." Does that sound like that there's something serious coming? We're here today and gone tomorrow. God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness of men. He's made it known. That's the love. There's the love. That God didn't wait until it's too late and we're lost. God told us ahead of time. So it's like giving an examination. Give you all the answers as he gives you the examination. Here's the answers. Here's what's going to happen. Here's what will take place if you don't do this and you don't do that. And here's the end, everlasting punishment. And every day, what is it, every minute or more than that, people are going out into eternity? And this audience this morning, there may be those here that middle-aged, getting along fine. You say, "Oh, I don't disbelieve God," but you just haven't got around to obeying Him. Young people, never yet have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here today, tomorrow you may be gone. I don't know. Preacher, you're trying to scare me? Yeah, I'm not afraid to scare you a little bit. Just recently, a middle-aged man, minding his own business, obeying the laws of traffic. I was going home from church here one night. His life was snuffed out that quick. Drunk, came across a divided highway, hit him head on. Took him out into eternity. I'm sure he wasn't planning on it. Was he? Just within a couple of weeks after that, a 20-year-old girl. I don't know a lot about her background, but there's 20-year-olds in that area here, aren't there? mind their business, divide the highway, obeying the traffic laws, going to work. No one could have probably convinced that girl that that was the last trip she'd ever make. Young boy lost control, went across the divided highway, come up, took the whole top of her car off and her head decapitated from here up. Didn't have a chance. She's out there in eternity, wherever she fell, as the Bible says, as the tree falls, so shall it lie. And wherever she was, that's where she'll be forever. No chance out there on the other side of death. Man in his prime, annoying, successful, appeared to be in good health, making a speech before his fellow people who did the same kind of work. I lost my word I wanted to use. Dropped dead in the middle of a sentence. He didn't plan on it. Gone. Little 16-year-old girl after school was out, got in the car. They were moving to Indiana. She wasn't the driver. Car hit a little place in the side of the road, threw it out of control, went down over the bank into some small trees. No one was injured very bad. But when I saw that little girl, white as a sheet, with her head in that awful position up behind the steering wheel, broken neck, she was dead. 16 years, all she ever got to live in this world. Eternity ahead. Wherever she was, if she never obeyed God, she'll never be with God. This has been back at Fur Peace one Sunday morning, a young member of the church. Everyone loved her. Faithful and tending, had given birth to twins, came to Bible class, never got to worship that Sunday morning. Bible class was over and she came to her seat with her twins. Everyone was so happy looking at the new twin babies they'd never seen before. Cerebral hemorrhage hit her. The ambulance was a quarter block from the church building. She was dead before they got there. What am I trying to picture? Death doesn't know whether you're a Christian or a sinner. Little 10-year-old girl, boy, plagued, stricken. 2 days later, nothing the doctors could do. He's dead. Well, you don't have to worry too much about those. They haven't reached the age of accountability. You get the picture? You are a dying creature. I'm a dying creature. We're here today, may be gone tomorrow. Man, very careful about his health and trying to be a good man, and went to the doctor to have his full examination. The doctor finished. Pronounced him in good health. You haven't anything to worry about. Fine, doctor. He walked out on the front doorsteps and died. Think it can't happen? These are just a few. They're going out there every day. Do I need to say more for you to understand, to wake up to the fact You may not be here tomorrow. I don't know. I may not be here tomorrow. My wife with brain damage, and I prayed the Lord that He let me live not to outlive her, but so I could take care of her until she died. Thank God He answered it. But here it is 3 years later and I'm still here. I don't know why. You get the picture? We don't know when we're going to go. But one thing is sure, you better be ready. I better be ready. And if I'm rejecting God, I'm in a pathetic condition. Don't do it. Please don't do it. Don't reject God. You can't be prepared to reject God. David, Psalms 9:12, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. What is he trying to tell us? You better think about it. 1 Corinthians 10:12, and this is to all of us who are members of the church. You say, I'm a Christian. So? Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth, what's the rest of it? Take heed lest he fall. Don't be cocky. Don't be so sure of yourself. Make sure of your calling and election by staying in there and being faithful to the Lord. And don't take chances with it. 1 Corinthians 10:12, Hebrews 10:31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I'm telling you, brethren, that's what God says it is. It's fearful to fall in His hand. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 8, he describes it when he could reel from heaven in flaming fire. Taking vengeance, who? God. Taking vengeance upon them that know not God. You say, what's going to happen, people who don't know God? There's the Bible answer. If you know somebody that doesn't know Him, you better get out there and warn him fast. Taking vengeance upon them that know not God and obey not the gospel. You're here Sunday after Sunday, welding, pleading. As he said not long ago, he doesn't understand why you don't rush out and give God your heart. Taking vengeance upon them that obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ, who shall be punished for a little while. Who shall be punished with everlasting, lasting forever, destruction from the presence of God. That's hell itself. You imagine being someplace where anything that is God is not. That's hell. And that's where you'll be if you obey not the gospel. That's the vengeance of God. Are you ready to reject Him? James 4, 13 and 14. But I'm going to. I got a few things I want to do. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, I'm going into such and such a city, and I'm going to buy, and I'm going to sell, and I'm going to get great gain. Shame on you. You know not. This is God telling you this, not Earl. You know not what shall be on the morrow. That's what I've been saying all the time, isn't it? What is your life? I had a little tea kettle here with some steam coming out of it. You see the steam a little bit, and then next thing, where'd it go? He said, your life is a vapor that appeareth for a little while. It's gone, vanishes away. How many people do you know right now? You can't talk to them anymore. They're not here anymore. Most of my people are gone. They'll never be back here again. But they'll be out there forever. And I'll be out there shortly. Forever. David said, 1 Samuel 20 and verse 3, there is but a step between me and death. Now, who's rejecting God? In Romans 1 verse 28, he shows how there are those who don't want to retain God in their knowledge. Are you one of those? You really don't want to read the Bible. You really don't want somebody to tell you about it. You really don't want me telling you this. You really don't want to retain God in your knowledge. If you can keep busy and think about other things and not think about these things, you think that makes it all right? That's rejecting God. The good man thinks that his goodness will save him. He's rejecting Christ. He's rejecting the goodness of God. He's rejecting the price that was paid for redemption. It won't save him. He's rejecting God. One that says, well, I believe God. I'm not a disbeliever. I'm not an infidel. Have you obeyed the gospel? No, not yet. Well, you tell me how in the world you would have proved to anybody that you believe anything. The proof of faith is obedience. That's the only way in the world you and I can prove faith, is when faith does what God says to do. So don't tell me you're a believer if you don't do what God says to do. That's Christians, sinners, all of us. We can just sit here Sunday after Sunday saying we believe God, but if we're not willing to do what the book tells us to do, we don't believe Him. We're rejecting Him. Matthew 1 or 15, verses 8 and 9, this people draw nigh to me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Now, what's going to happen when you reject God? Here today and gone tomorrow with no sin offering. Every one of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us are guilty. And the only way we have of hope is for a sin offering to pay the price. We haven't anything to bring to pay it. Jesus paid the price. Jesus is the sin offering. And when you reject Him, you're going to be coming to God one day and not a thing offered for your sins. Not a thing to pay the price. And there won't be any place in heaven for sinners. Oh, how awful if that's you. Forever. No mediator. That's what it means when you reject Christ. You're going to have to plead your own case. And what do you have to plead? Nothing. It's like they say in court work, when a man tries to be his own attorney, they say a man who tries to be his own attorney has a fool for an attorney. That's about right. He really doesn't know what to do, and they look on him, if he don't mean any more to you than that, why? If you're going to stand before God and it doesn't mean enough to you to have Jesus to mediate for you, to stand between you and God and say, God, I paid the price. He hasn't always done what he should have done. He sinned, but I paid that price. God, I love him. He's been on our side. He's a Christian. He's faithful. Take him in. You won't have that. Stand there a stranger, rejected, no mediator, no intercessor. Can't expect mercy from God. I'm going to have to quit. What's it mean when you've rejected God? Bottomless pit. I don't know what that means. I can just get a little glimpse. I know these word descriptions are telling me something that's far worse than I can imagine. A bottomless pit, that's what it's going to be out there when you're not in heaven and you're in hell. It's described like a bottomless pit. It's darkness forever. It's a lake of fire and brimstone. I have stood by the side of an automobile and heard the awful screams of a person inside burning to death. Believe me, it's no fun. But you know what everybody could say? It'll be over in a little bit. That's the only comfort we could have. It'd be over in a little bit. They'll be dead. The fire will take care of them. They'll be over. It'll be over. They'll be out of that awful misery. But in hell, it won't be over in a little bit. It's just on and on and on and on. Because you didn't think enough of the love of God to accept his price that he paid to redeem you. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. I haven't been around many people like that. Have you ever seen anyone in such misery they weeped and actually gnashed their teeth? That's the way he describes hell. And he says he saw the smoke of their torment ascending up forever. We're going to sing this invitation song this morning. I want you to think about it. Don't stand there and say, maybe someday. Let him have his way with you. You're just going through once. It's a one-time thing. Will you let him have his way with you? Come this morning believing Jesus meant what he said. Believe that God is a God of wrath, as well as a God of love, and say, God, I come for mercy. Turn from your sins, repenting. Confess Jesus. Don't be ashamed and say, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, so he will confess you. And then be buried with your Lord in baptism. Let your body go through a likeness of what Jesus actually went through. Be buried in baptism for the remission of your sins to come forth. Now I'm redeemed. I'm not rejecting him anymore. If on my way home today it's the last trip I ever make, I won't be afraid. I'll have something over there waiting. Don't wait. Come now. Please. Won't we stand?
Wait.